Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Justin. Thank you, Frank, for that prayer. And you only got three men here. It's kind of hard to, you almost run out of people to pray. All three of us will do it before it's over. If you'll turn your Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 2, I know the scriptures I'm going to read are some of the most read of Sovereign Grace people, but especially Sovereign Grace Baptist. There is such a thing as people that are not Baptist that are Sovereign Grace. They may not believe in a lot of things we do, but they do believe in the sovereignty of God. And for that, I do give them credit. We believe in our hearts, our conviction of the Word of God is what the Holy Spirit teaches us. People are not smart enough to read the Word of God and understand it. The Word of God must be a revelation to you. God must reveal it. I don't blame people. I don't despise them. I don't reject them that don't believe in the sovereignty of God. I pray for them. I wish everybody could understand it. But God's in control of that. I have no control over it. I can't make a person believe anything. I can't make one sinner repent. I can't do anything but come up here and preach the Word of God. Put it on Facebook. Put it on our website, put it on sermon audio. That's all I can do. That's all any preacher can do. And it makes me happy that I don't have control over those things. You might say, why? Well, the reason I'm glad that I don't have control over those things is because I would work myself to death and probably have a stroke and heart attack trying to make people understand the Word of God. But all I can do is teach it. So you have two forms in this world of salvation among Christians. You have the Christian religionist on one side, and you have the Christian sovereign grace on the other side. The Christian religionists believe in free will. The Christian sovereign grace people, they believe in the grace of God, the omnipresence of God, the omniscience of God, the predetermined will of God, predestination, all of it. We believe all of it. We're about as sovereign grace as you can get. We're about the most hard shell you can get, what people call you. We're not hard shell, but that's what they call us. Of course, if I was free will, I'd probably be calling this hard shell too. There's a problem with the religionists over here. They believe it's everybody's free will to be saved. It's everybody's choice. A lot of them believe it's your works that saves you. A lot of them believe it's your baptism that saves you. A lot of them believe a lot of things except the truth. I'm not going to bite my tongue. Anyone that don't want to listen to this sermon needs to turn it off because it's going to get worse. I intend to teach this sermon about as hard as I can. I'm getting in my latter years now. I'm 63. One of these days, the Lord's going to take me home. And someone else will fill this pulpit to teach God's Word. In my last few years, I do want to make sure that the things we teach here are according to the Scripture, well established and well taught. If you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the Lord says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it, salvation, it's a gift of God. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast, that not any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There's a whole lot here, and I'm not going to preach a lot on this scripture. It's going to be our go-to scripture to start us off. But first thing we find out here, salvation is not a choice. Salvation is not a free will. Any preacher that stands in this pulpit or any other pulpit ever and tells you that God cannot change your will ought to resign and go somewhere and get him a job at a library or something. He needs to get his computer down. He needs to get his Bible down and actually read it and study it and pray that God will open his eyes and ears to the truth. There's not a person on this earth, not one single solitary person on this earth that has an ability to make a decision for Christ or choose to be saved. It's not our will. It's God's will. The only part of salvation that is our will is the will that God's given to us to be saved. So we're going to look at the two different branches, the sovereignty of God and free will of man, and we're going to discover the truth and the facts of this. I'm going to cover a lot of areas. I'm going to cover a lot of things. I'm in no hurry. If I don't get but one paragraph of this done tonight, I'm okay with that. Because we're going to be on this for months. Maybe a year. I'm telling you, folks, this is a long series. If you will, turn your Bible to Romans chapter 11. We're going to cover a lot of things in this introduction. First of all, we're going to cover about grace, we're going to cover about free will. We're also going to cover things like the Bible and things like TULIP and a lot of things. We're just going to cover a lot of things. On this note I have right now, I spent probably a minimum of 7 hours studying it and writing it. So this is our introduction, part one. This will be a series of sermons about salvation and about salvation being God's will and God's power. Or is it free will? Is it a choice? Is it a decision? Well, when we get down here, if you understand anything about the Word of God, if God revealed anything to you about the Word of God, you're going to understand that it's not a choice or decision. It's not about you having the will to turn over a new leaf, because you can't. Human beings can't change what they are. Their nature is to be at enmity with God. Even those that serve in all these churches around here, quote unquote, think they're serving God. They have a great zeal for God, but what they're not doing is serving God at all. Because if you can't serve God in spirit and truth, John 4:24-25, you can't serve God in truth, in truth, in truth. Everything in the Word of God is about truth because it is truth. God also told the church to be a pillar and ground of truth. So I have to be honest. You know, I find a lot of things I post on Facebook. I go back. I don't count likes, views. I go to look and see if anybody's actually watched it. I don't even go to sermon audios and check our count over there. I did at first, but I don't anymore. I rarely, maybe once a month or every 3 months, go to the website and check, see what was going on over there right now, because I don't want our church paying for something that's not getting viewed. I'm very disappointed in sermon audios. But they work to get the Word of God out, don't they? So we understand that the world's population and the world's opinion is that man is saved by a person choosing to come to Christ And a small remnant believe that God actually saves sinners, that God actually gives a gift called salvation. But the vast majority of them, I can't give you a percentage over here on the free will side, but it's like 95 or so against the sovereignty of God. Even the real people that claim to be sovereign grace is no more. People worry about money. People worry about attendance. People worry about growing churches. Why do we worry about those things that God does? Why should we behave in such a manner that goes against the Word of God, and that intentionally go against the Word of God? I was reading a story this week about a football coach, I believe it's Cleveland Browns, that his owner, he said, paid him like $100,000 a game to lose so they get a good draft pick. Now, first of all, if he actually took $100,000 to lose a football game, he should never coach ever again. That's the same thing with preachers. Any preacher that intentionally drops the truth of the Word of God in order to gain people, or gain money, or gain prosperity, or gain anything, should never be allowed to preach in a pulpit ever again. Our job is to preach the truth. And we are a small remnant of people. Look at us. You walk into any sovereign grace church in the United States of America, and chances are, unless a lot of people have a lot of kids, they're not going to have a large crowd. Oakdale probably seats 150 people. I don't know how many they see. I'm just guessing. I know Country Baptist seats 110. We didn't have three rows of pews. They got three different rows of pews. They probably seat 150 people. They probably got 20 there. A lot of the other churches are small like us. When we read down this, I asked the church to cut the pews down, give us more room, because we don't need it. Even for a Bible conference, we do good to have 40, 45. People don't want to hear the word of God's truth. They want to hear what their itchy ears want to hear. And guess who controls them? Satan. In Ephesians chapter 11, verse 5, it says, even so, then, at this present time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. People say that's Israel. That's not Israel. No. Ephesians 1 is not about Israel. Romans is not about Israel. It's all about the church age. That's what it's about. The New Testament is about the church age. This is the reason there's a lot of misunderstanding in the Word of God. And we're going to look at that misunderstanding, and we're going to correct a lot of people. They may not appreciate how we're going to correct them, but I guarantee one thing, you grab your Strong's Concordance, you grab your Bible Dictionary, you go up there and you get Gill, you get Jamin Fawcett Brown, you get any of those folks, and you read their commentaries, and you will find out what the truth of the Word of God is. See, here in verse 5, that the present time there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Election, grace. Election, grace. Not according to those that had grace on God and actually chose Him, but God actually had grace on us and chose us to be His children. And not only did God choose us to be His children, God called us to be His children. God begs nobody. God's not pleading with anybody. God don't need anyone to make a choice. because they're not going to make a choice. They may lie to themselves because all men are liars. God is true. Verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Kind of tongue-tied confusing, isn't it? So what God just tell us? Well, he just told us that there's a remnant according to election of grace. And then he just told us in verse 6, I believe it is. I got 5, but I think it's verse 6. He says, if by grace, it is by grace. It's not a possibility. It's not. It is by grace. Then it's not a works. Anybody that's working their way to heaven is not one. They're not going to make it. They're going to end up in hell for all their trouble. They're going to be like that group of Israelites that Paul spoke of in Romans, I think it was 9:10, where he said that they have a great zeal, but not according to knowledge. You can have a great desire, a great zeal to be a child of God, to worship, to go to church, to tithe, do all these great things, but if you're working your way to heaven, you're not going to make it. Well, how do you know that, Mr. Smarty? Because God just told us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, not of works. I'm sorry, but do we have a problem understanding that? If I told you that this is a piece of oak wood, would you come up here and tell me it's cedar? Well, I'm looking at it, and I know what oak is, and it's oak. Nowhere, not one place in the entire Word of God, does God tell anybody to work their way to heaven. You know why? Because it's not possible. It's not possible. If you are a sinner before you're saved, and God saved you, the thing that changed was now you're a saved sinner. We're not going to get on the death of Christ and the blood of Christ. Well, that's coming. Believe me, I've got this note packed full of stuff. So the Lord said, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace there is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. Did God just tell us that if it's of works, it's not of grace? That's what he told us. Do you get that from that? I do. And what does our text tell us? That we're saved by grace, right? Through faith, not of yourselves. I mean, you can't save yourself. Not of works. Not of works, because it's by grace. God tells us here that if it's by grace, then it's not of works. I believe to properly understand this, we must rightly divine the word works and what it means. Well, we all know what it means, Pastor. What, you think we're stupid? No, but I'm telling you right now, it's always a good thing to look up things in the dictionaries. And I'm not talking about some free will dictionary. I'm talking about something like a Young's Concordance, or a Strong's Concordance, or a Smith Dictionary, or a Vine's Dictionary. The word works means toil. That is, to work hard. as to properly understand this, we must rightly define the word, toll as a effort by implication an act. He goes on to say it's a deed or a laboring. Well, when you consider these definitions, a toll, a hard work, that's a toll means hard work, as an effort, or by implication, anything that's an act on our part, anything that's a deed, or any sort of laboring is a work. So, to properly understand the Word of God, when God says we're not saved by works, He means we're not saved by anything we do. I watched, as I was a young lad in the ministry, went to my mentor, Brother Hammond, and a lot of things confused me because I had come out of a church that was not what you call Armenian today, but they were Armenian. I wasn't a member there, that's just where I was saved at. And I once asked Brother Hammond, he explained this to me, and I had this great, glorious question, and I was going to really bust him with this one, right? I said, if anything is a work, anything we do is a work, then how do we believe? How is it that if we actually do anything to be saved ourselves, then it's considered a work, right? Because it's an act. Let's reread the definitions here. It says toll, hard work, as to properly under, I'm sorry, hard work as an effort by implication, an act on our part, a deed on our part, a laboring. So how is it that we believe and it's not a work? Because it would be a work. And he said, Brady, you know what? You're on to something there. He said, you know, if we believed, if it was our choice, our decision, or anything that caused us to believe of our own, it would literally be an act on our. I said, Horace, that's what I've been trying to explain. That's what I want to understand. You say it's not. You know what he told me? We believe because the Holy Spirit causes our hearts to believe. It's not really us believing. It's the Holy Spirit believing through our hearts, causing us, whatever the Holy Spirit does in, to come out. The faith we have, and a lot of people deny this, but it's true. The faith we have to be saved is a God-given faith. Most people don't have that faith. How many times did Jesus say over in Galatians that we're saved by Jesus' faith, or the faith of Jesus? Jesus gave us the faith to believe. See, we were depraved. We didn't have that. And we're going to get on that depraved stuff as well, too. Later, we're not going to get very far tonight, and that's okay. I don't care if it takes 5 years. I'm going to do this. So anything we do would be considered laboring and a work. So therefore, we must conclude that nothing a sinner can do can save them. Now, let's turn over to the word grace. You know, most people doesn't understand what the word grace means. A lot of people do. A lot of sovereign grace people do because we study it. But when God says that we're saved by grace, And when he says there are a remnant according to the election of grace, what's the Lord telling us by the word grace? Most people sing the song Amazing Grace. We sing it here almost a lot of times before we leave. If I leave it. Amazing grace, that is the amazing grace of God. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now they'll sing this song and they'll sing it, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But the Lord says if salvation is an act on our part, it's not a grace. Right? I'll answer for you. Most of the women here, they can't answer. So how did grace save them? If it's all their works, if it's their choice, their decision. You know, what you don't hear is an Armenian friend, Lord, we ask you for your blessings this day. And Lord, we pray to you this day that Charlie is going to make a decision for Christ. We know, Father, that you can't change his will. We know, Father, that you can't control him in any way to be saved. But we're going to pray, Father, this day to you that Charlie will change his mind and come to choose Christ as his Savior. Now, isn't that stupid? Ain't the way they pray, is it? No. They pray that God will save sinners. That God will bring them in. That God will send them a pastor. But it's all our choice, all our decision, all our works, isn't it? So when we look at it from their view over here, you know what we see? We see God saying over there, I wonder what they're going to do. I wonder if they're going to make their minds up and choose me. And you know what the most asinine thing they say? Well, Satan's over here. Jesus is over here. They're both whispering in your ear because it's your choice. So, Jesus is competing with Satan? And you tell them this, they say, oh, now you're making it look like something it isn't. No, I'm making it look like exactly what it is. So grace, when it says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, or the Lord says, for by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. Or when the Lord says there is a remnant according to grace, the election of grace, and the Lord says, well, if it's by grace, it's not of works, because if it's works, it's not of grace. Why? Why would the Lord go that far to say that? Well, grace just means a gracious, God is gracious to us. He was gracious to us to send Jesus to the cross to die for us. That's not what the word means. It does mean that, but it has another definition that nobody wants to tell you about. Go ahead, download these words, book it up, get your concordance out, get your good Strong's or Young's, get your Vines or Smith dictionary, and you will see this definition of the word of grace. Grace is a divine influence upon the heart. Wow. Did you know that? Let me say it. I'm going to clear my throat so I can say it a little bit clearer. Take my time. Grace means a divine influence upon the heart. So do I need to go look up the word divine? Do I really? Do we need to figure out what divine means? Divine is God. Grace is God's influence upon the heart. So when you go back to Ephesians 2:8, it says, For by God's divine influence upon your heart, you're saved. Wow. That carries a boot meaning, doesn't it? Just fill the boot up. Drop a bomb on it. For by the influence of God, you are saved. Look it up. It also means a benefit or a favor or a gift. I'm trying to hurry again. It also means a gift. So if we're saved by grace, that's the divine influence of God, then we're not saved by ourselves, are we? In other words, there's nothing in us that causes us to be saved. Otherwise, it'd be a work, wouldn't it? And God'd be a liar, wouldn't he? I mean, God's the one that told us that we're not saved by works, right? Over and over and over. We're going to read so many of them scriptures, it's going to make you almost puke. Not really. We all love those scriptures, don't we? We're saved by grace, a divine influence upon the heart. That is the Holy Spirit convicting our hearts. First, according to Ephesians 2:1, he quickens us, makes us alive. Then he causes us to be saved. He causes us to believe in our hearts. So it's not a work on our part, is it? Nothing about salvation when you were saved was a work. You might have thought it was. You might have actually thought you made a decision for Christ, but if you're really saved, you didn't. Look at the scriptures, folks. Don't listen to me. Look at the scriptures. Read the scriptures. Study the Word of God. The Lord said to study to show yourself approved unto God. So grace is a divine influence upon the heart. It also means a benefit, a favor, or a gift. There we go. Therefore, we must conclude by using the word grace. When the Lord said if we're saved by grace, we're not saved by works. And he says over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that we are saved by grace and not by works. So we must conclude, therefore, that the word grace means salvation is completely set apart from any merit or work on anyone's part. Wow. That's what God just did to everyone that says that God can't change a man's will. He just slapped them. That's what God did to everyone who says it's your choice, your decision to be saved. It's to everyone that says that God can't save sinners. Shame on you! You call yourself Christians. You call yourself churches. You call yourself pastors. When you're nothing but the workers of Satan. Say, Pastor, but these scriptures, oh, we're going to get to them. I'm going to go to the hardest scriptures anybody can bring to me, and we're going to study them. And I'm going to tell you exactly what they mean. You may not believe me, but that's what's going to happen. All right, we got about 5 minutes. So, grace sets salvation completely apart from anyone's merit or any work on anyone's part, including the preacher. I've never saved a person. You want to know something else? I've never been part of a person's salvation in any way. The message I ever preached that anyone come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through, and they have been some, come to know that and understand that, not by my preaching, but by the Word of God and the revelation the Holy Spirit had on them. I've never saved a soul. I don't keep notes, records, or anything, because there's none. Everything would have a zero to it. I don't have to keep a record. So we know, a lot of people still may not be convinced, but that's the reason this is a long series. We know that God said it cannot be accomplished by both works and grace. I got an explanation here for you. Period. Period. It's not even anything else after it. It's actually explanation mark, or whatever they call the thing. Sorry, I'm not that. Therefore, now this is what we're going to get into next. I'm sorry, I told you, if I don't get the first paragraph done, don't be surprised. We went from here to here. First paragraph. I'm telling you, folks, this is too important to take our time to do fast. Therefore, and we'll end with this, unless there's an altering of God's word, salvation is by grace and not by works of man. Did you just hear what I said? Unless there is an altering of God's word, and shame, 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 we don't alter God's word. You'll not find one place tonight I altered anything. Shame on you if you alter God's word. That's a no-no. The Lord said if we alter his word, his place will be taken away from us. Because Christians, real Christians, I'm talking about people that have actually experienced the Holy Spirit's salvation in their hearts, will not alter God's word. Unless there is an altering of God's word. You know what, folks? This is truth. This is the only infallible thing. This is the only infallible thing sitting on this earth. There's not anything in there that can be altered. If you do a deep study of the King James Version of the Bible, you will find out that these 40 some odd men or translators. I'm not sure all of them were men. I assume they probably were. These 40-some-odd translators, over what, 7 years, worked day and night translating this, went back to the Textus Receptus, went back to all the other great Bibles of the past in other languages, and they made this translation. And believe me, you may disagree, I don't care what you think, that is the greatest translation in the English language right there. I can't understand it. You know, that's the reason God gave us dictionaries. You know, I didn't know how to add 2 + 2. Probably still don't. But anyway, isn't it 3? I'm not sure. Anyway, no, it's 4, I know. But anyway, we can't alter the system. We're altering the system of our world right now. Look at our cities. They're being robbed. And it's okay. That's not what America's about, is it? It's not. Now we're making choices and decisions for Christ. We're working our way to heaven. We're doing this, we're doing that. And God said it's not at works. But it said over here, you're altering God's word. And we'll get into that next week. I would love to have another hour on this. But I don't. We'll start next week with talking about altering God's word. Okay? Well, if you will, let me kill this.